The Beatles broke up in 1970. John Lennon was killed in 1980. Next month will be 25 years since he was murdered by Mark David Chapman. And there are several Beatle books that are coming out and a terrific DVD that's just been released of John and Yoko appearing on The Dick Cavett Show, which ran for 3 years in the late 60s and early 70s on the ABC television network as a competitor to Johnny Carson. On September 8th, 1971, Dick Cavett sat down and did a 90-minute late-night show with John and Yoko.
How long was it fun?
Well, everything's fun off and on, you know. Mm-hmm. So I suppose it could have gone on being fun off and on, or it could have gone worse, I don't know. It's just that when you grow up, you know, we don't want to be the crazy gang, which they might know over here, which is British, or the Marx Brothers, which is sort of being dragged on stage playing She Loves You when we've got, you know, asthma and tuberculosis, and when we're 50, you know. Here they are again, yesterday, all my troubles.
Dick Cavett joins me here on the Paul Harris Show this afternoon. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Paul.
Isn't it ironic that here we are on the cusp of Paul McCartney going back out on tour and playing yesterday at the age of, I think, now 63 years old?
God, you know, on my Rock Icon DVDs, I'm just getting a chance to do those. I ask Mick Jagger, just off the top of my head, can you imagine doing what you do at age 60? Now, when you're the age we were then, 60 seems 90.
Yep.
You'll find out. So it was just considered a preposterous question, and nothing Jagger could have a very good answer to, but he did. He said, easily.
And they are. And they are.
Here he is. I took kidding about needing a cane. But,
you know what impressed me about your show then and now is it was just casual conversation. Nowadays, you turn on any TV show where any star is appearing, and it's only to promote something. Ironically, that's what you're doing here today. But in those days, you would have people who would be on the show. John and Yoko didn't have anything in particular to promote. They just came in, right?
Right. I think they plugged a couple items just to sound like they were Americans. But and I will never know why they were so goddamn nervous at the beginning of the show. I mean, they ate 20 cigarettes each, it seemed. And I can't conceive of why I sat there with a dumb face and didn't say anything about it. I could think of any number of funny things to say. But I guess I was still a little startled that because I had met them in a hotel, their hotel room, and we had a cordial couple of hours, I guess, that they would be at all nervous. And it might have been just, I hesitate to say it, the old mystique of America, and this is where they most wanted to be, make a good impression, and they adored being here. And ironically, months later, I found myself in court trying to keep John in the country.
You testified at their deportation trial?
Say again?
You testified at the deportation trial?
Yeah, I did. I got there, and it's those big old buildings with the tall pillars and dark brooding ones, that the court, the law part of town, like you see on Law and Order. Down a hall, there was John. He was perfectly placed and framed for a photograph. His thin legs and rather tight pants and those what I consider ugly round glasses that anybody wears. But John seemed to triumph over them, too. And I walked down the hall toward him, and he said, "Hello, Dick." And I hadn't much to say myself. Here are the two of us in this ludicrous situation, the legal power of the greatest country in the world, with an unindicted co-conspirator in the White House.
Right.
And trying to cover up all of his criminality. It was very, very unreal. I listened to a debate as to whether cannabis resin and marijuana are the same thing. I don't know how much that forward is staying in the country or not. But the unindicted co-conspirator, I almost said his real name, Nixon, in the tapes of the Nixon days,
yep.
I'm told you can hear Haldeman talking about this and saying, this guy could sway an election, sir.
And did the fact that he was on your show also mean retribution, do you think, for you? Because, after all, your show was pulled from ABC just a few months later.
Oh, was it? I mean, I don't know when anything happened in my life.
Yeah, this was September. Well, I mean, your second show with John and Yoko was in May of 72, and you were off the air by the end of that year. Do you think that Nixon had anything to do with that?
That was when ABC decided they could make more money with something called late night entertainment. Or, no, not even that.
No, I
don't. Not even as respectable a title as that. And I was in there sometimes. I don't know. At that time, I was a little tired of their humor. And if you've done five shows, get this, in 4 days, five 90-minute shows in 4 days, after a certain number of years, there's nothing left of you.
I don't know, Dick. I do five four-hour shows a day a week. So.
Oh, well, you're of a different generation. But no, I look back at almost all of the ABC days as happy, with a couple of dumb exceptions, like "Woman is the Nigger of the World."
Yep.
The song should everyone not know it, that they chose to sing on the show, second time they were on. I was told they sang it. Somebody said that song will not go out over the ABC network. We were taping for several days away, actually, in that case. So I said, yes, it will. You know, see what had happened. Well, they came back a little scared with a compromise, an ingenious compromise. Dick will read a little apology-like thing. Not an apology, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use that word. Dick will read a little sort of explanation of the song, and that it might offend some people, but that we hope that it doesn't. So I said, we're taking the chicken path. And there was silence in the room, and somebody tried to pretend I was being humorous. And they wrote this same thing, and I went out and I said it. I just saw it on the DVDs. My last sentence is so clearly a renunciation of what I'm supposed to believe I'm saying that it's really funny.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of response did you get from viewers?
Well, the song went on, and there was a mountain of irate letters. All of them, none of them about the song. All of them about that nasty little sissy thing you made Dick say, that cowardly little explanation beforehand.
Mm.
Don't you know we have most of... So it was nice. They didn't blame me for it, and they did blame the network.
I've got to ask you about having John and Yoko there, because I think people tolerated Yoko because she was half of John and Yoko. And, you know, on the show, you played some of her movies, and everybody applauded, and you kind of played along. But were you thinking at your time, this is garbage?
Words to that effect. we have to...
I'm cleaning it up for the show here, you understand.
Yeah.
What were your impressions of her stuff?
We should have reminded ourselves, I suppose, even now, that by the time John met Yoko, she already had a very good avant-garde reputation in the art world and exhibits and places and things. It's hard for some to swallow that, but it's certainly true. But, you know, and not some little shop girl who said, oh, here's a Beatle. Come into my gallery, you can see an ice cube melt, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, but one of the films that she showed on your show, Dick, was of a fly walking on a woman.
Oh, God, wasn't that exciting?
No, it was horrible.
Not since John Wayne has there been anything to thrill me so.
Yeah, it was just trash, and people put up with it because she was Mrs. John Lennon, right?
I think so, and I guess you could argue if you were assigned it in a debate class that there's something to it. If the damn fly had had the brains to walk over more interesting parts.
then you'd have a website is what you'd have.
That's right. Yeah.
Did you meet them afterwards besides the deportation hearing?
Which she was not at, by the way. A couple of times, but always very briefly, and I always thought he's so... fun to talk to and such a lively guy. I really wished I saw them more often. But I didn't, except, of course, when they came back to the studio with the black bags to wipe out the memory of the fly.
Oh,
or was
man.
That the same show?
Oh, I think, I don't remember. It was on. It's one of the two or three shows that you have on the DVD, which is a lot of fun to watch as a historical moment, but just bizarre.
Uh-huh.
Now, having seen this and the previous DVD with the Janis Joplin and the beautiful Joni Mitchell and the Jefferson Airplane, I mean, you were the hip alternative to Carson, weren't you?
Well, I suppose that contributed to that, if there was such a thing. And I've never known why the rock guys and gals came on my show, but except that after one or two did, they saw it was a good thing. And managers would say, you know, this is really what you need. This is great. You know, you don't just play and walk off the stage. Sometimes it resulted in having to talk to Sly Stone for what seemed like 8 hours. But, mercy.
I'm laughing, having seen it. That was, you know, and having interviewed a lot of people myself, you must have been thinking to yourself, I wish I could just leave this room right now.
I wish I had just said, you know, I don't understand one single thing you've said.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I had. But in watching it, I had a curious reverse effect. I thought, wait a minute, this guy isn't stupid. He is leading this interview with monosyllables, and I'm being suckered into playing along. David Bowie was interesting because he appeared carved out of ivory soap for the first 10 minutes, or 2 minutes, I mean, and he's a fabulously strange-looking guy anyway, and I couldn't take my eyes off him. You might say, aren't your eyes always on the guest? No, there are times when your eyes and ears are not. And then you suddenly think, Jesus, this guy's lips have stopped moving.
It's my turn to talk.
I got to say something here. Let's change the subject.
All right, speaking of eyes, what was Ray Charles like?
Wondrous. Oh, God. Ray Charles is the man. I realize that wasn't an authentic accent for saying that, but he's just absolutely the best in a field that nobody has even competed with him in. And it's just his singing is enough for anybody and should be. But on this, they get to see Ray talking, which I don't remember ever seeing before, except maybe at a awards thing, you know, saying, congratulations, Ray. There you go. To see him sit down and talk with an intelligence and intensity at times, that it was really a treat.
Yeah, I never had a chance to interview him. I did have a chance to see him in concert, but there was a palpable sense that you're in the room with a genius.
Yes, isn't that interesting? I was trying to write something about that the other day, that because we have a thing called the comedians or the comics coming along, and I thought, if when you're next to certain people, not only comics, Brenda would be the biggest example, and other great actors and great comedians, there's almost a pulse you can feel of something.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there in this person that is alive and moving. It's very, very peculiar, and it doesn't happen very often, so you have to treasure it when it does.
I know you're releasing a comedy DVD, a sports DVD, a Hollywood DVD, but please tell me that
you're way ahead of me. I'm still working on my having my shoes criticized by Janis Joplin.
But please tell me, Dick, that there will be individual DVDs with your legendary Groucho Marx and Woody Allen shows. Are those coming out soon?
You know, a lot of times there are shows that don't seem to fit into a category, and they might have to... Well, people have said, for example, when you brought Orson Welles back to his American audience, it's a nice way to think of it, for that 90-minute show, that was... I decided to turn my television off forever. It didn't do me anything that good. People fall in love with an individual show that way. Or the Mailer Vidal battle, or the Governor Maddox walking off when I didn't apologize to the people of Georgia.
Right.
I don't know how those will be treated. Naturally, being a company, they want stuff that looks bright and good and attention-getting.
Well, I think the Groucho and Woody Allen shows in particular, not that the ones you just mentioned weren't classics, but as a big fan of those... You know, I would love to hear them. And, in fact, I'm all out of time here, but I'd love to have you back when those do come out so that you can...
Oh, please.
I would just like to have you tell Groucho and Woody stories for an hour.
You just want to... You just can't wait to see Groucho propose marriage to Truman Capote again?
Well, you
I don't know
what?
If you, I don't know if you caught that one, because he did about 8 or 9 shows with me Each getting a little slower, but always brilliant.
We need to see the Dick Cavett Show Groucho collection with all of those. But in the meantime, it's the Dick Cavett Show John and Yoko collection, which is out there now. And I thank you for your time, and I hope we can do it again soon.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Dick Cavett here on the Paul Harris Show. It's KMOX.